Today, the scripture reading, the gospel reading, is sort of a cascade of various short parables on the kingdom of God. And during the children's sermon, we heard about the mustard seed parable, a very powerful one. I want to follow up today for the sermon with some more of these little parables, three of them actually, from chapter 13 of Matthew's gospel, verses 44 through 51. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be with the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood this?" And they answered, "Yes." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you understood this? We want to say yes really quickly, but do we really understand what the kingdom of God is like? What the kingdom of God is for us, for others? The kingdom of God, according to my dad, was like fishing. Now, my dad loved the fish, and in that, I thought of my granddad as the great fisherman, but the real great fisher person in my family was actually my dad's mother, Carabel. She was an amazing fisher. She could sit there on the bank and pull in brim after brim after brim, bluegill after bluegill after bluegill, goggle-eye after goggle-eye after goggle-eye. She could bring in that fish, fill up whole canisters of the whole coolers of them so that we could then put them out on trot line. She was an amazing fisher person. She put my dad and my granddad to shame with how she could charm fish onto her hooks. She was an amazing fisher person. My dad followed in her steps, though. As he got older, he got even better and even better and even better. He made his own fly rod and his own flies, so that when he went fishing, he could have even greater control of the experience. I used to envy his ability to cast and pull in and be able to just interpret by the feel on the line, not just that he had a fish, but what kind of fish it was. And we would go fishing up in southeastern Oklahoma around the Lake Broken Bow area, down south of Lake Broken Bow in Beaver's Bend, and north of Lake Broken Bow on the Mountain Fork River, all the way up to the border with Arkansas. We used to fish that whole region through there in the summers. About this time of year, I can remember going up there with my dad. I remember one summer, Dad would come over to my church in Segoville, and normally Mom and Dad would come to church, and they would be dressed very nicely. Dad often went a pair of slacks and a nice shirt, but on those Sundays before we would depart, Dad would show up in ratty jeans and a t-shirt, and outside on the truck would be his canoe, and the back would be filled with all our gear. And I'd be preaching, and Dad would be sitting in the back. And then after services, I'd go back to my office, and I'd take off the robes and the vestments, and I'd take off the clothes and change clothes into my own jeans and stuff. And then we'd get out and get in the truck and head up to Oklahoma for a week of fishing. And I can remember going out with Dad, and we'd fish all day long in the canoe, fly fishing, catching not fish to eat, unless we happened to be lucky enough to catch a bass, but instead trot line bait. Catching bait, in other words. And we would then run a trot line across the Mountain Fork River there at the narrow point there out in front of where we were staying in the cabin there outside of Smithville, and we would bait it with the brim and the bluegill and the goggle eye that we had caught. And then later that day or that evening or early the next morning, we'd get up and we'd go out and we'd run that trot line to see if we'd caught anything. And my dad could reach down and take a hold of that line. And by how that line twitched, he knew if we had fish and what kind of fish we had. He'd take a hold of it and he could feel it. And he'd say, we got a channel cat, or ooh, we got a big mouth bass on there. One time he grabbed it, he felt it for a while, and he wasn't sure what it was. He says, I think it's a gar. And sure enough, a nasty scavenger fish, we got out to it, and it stripped the line of all of the bait and anything we happened to have caught, and it was caught itself in the middle of the river. Dad was so angry. One time we caught a snapping turtle, and Dad was so mad about catching that snapping turtle, he killed it rather quickly. Dad had no patience for them. But Dad said once that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that we are entering is like fishing. You're fishing for whatever you can catch. And you're going to catch all kinds. Brim, bluegill, goggle-eye, smallmouth bass, bigmouth bass. You name it, you'll catch it. Yes, even a nasty gar. But you're fishing for whatever you can get. And that's like the last parable in the reading today. They threw out a net, and it was a big net, and it would fill up with fish down in the water, and then they would pull it in, and it would be filled with all kinds of fish. It's not that they were fishing for just one kind of fish, a tilapia. That's what they wanted. That's what they were fishing for in the Sea of Galilee, tilapia. And they would catch that. They would be happy about that, but they couldn't control all the different kinds of fish that would be in that net. They would pull that net in and pull it ashore and then sit down and sort. Keeper, 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 keeper. Toss away, too small, or gar, or whatever, and toss it back into the sea. And he says, Jesus says, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven will be like this. God casts out the net far and wide and catches all kinds, pulls in, receives all kinds. And then God chooses, not the fish, God chooses which ones God wants. God chooses them. In the earlier parables, the earlier two parables I just read, the first one, the kingdom of heaven, is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and then hid. Notice, that little piece of it is often ignored. Someone found and hid it. They found it. They didn't steal it. They found it and they hid it in the field. And then they went with joy and sell all that they have, and they buy that field to get the treasure in it. They buy the entire field to get the treasure that's in it. And the other one is like it. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value. That word great means enormous, beautiful, amazing value. He went and sold all that he had and bought it. That pearl was of more value than everything else the merchant had. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like buying the field to get the treasure. It's like selling all that you have to get the fine pearl. It's like casting the net wide in order to get out of the lake or the sea or the river just the fish you want. But you're willing to catch them all to get it. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what Jesus does for us. Jesus was born as a baby in Bethlehem of Judea over 2,000 years ago. Jesus grew up. Jesus taught in the temple as a child. Jesus taught his disciples and all those who would come to hear. Jesus taught of the love of God, of the justice of God, of the majesty of God, of the grace of God. Jesus expressed that love and grace through healing and feeding the 5,000 and more. And then Jesus expressed it ultimately and completely by taking upon himself the sins of the whole world as a sacrifice of atonement and dying for the whole world in order to get the treasure hidden in it, the fine pearl that is there, and just the right perfect fish that God wants. Keep those metaphors in your brain at one moment. It's an interesting picture, isn't it? Treasure, fine pearls, and wonderful fish. Well, Greg, so often you look to me like a gar. Yeah, I know I'm often just like a gar. It's nasty smelling, something of a scavenger. But God sees past the garness to the wonderful fish, the wonderful bass that God wants. Likewise, God sees beyond the smudges on your pearl. God sees past the trash in your feet for the treasure that you are. And Jesus came into this world and died for the sins of the whole world in order to get out of it, in order to receive, in order to be able to claim from it the treasure, which is you. The fine pearl, which is you. The glorious bass and tilapia and catfish. It's you. Oh, my pearl is dusty and scuffed. The treasure is often mixed with trash, and I'm a gar. Jesus sees past that to the beautiful treasure that you can be, to the beautiful pearl that you will be buffed up to become, to the wonderful fish that you really are. Jesus died for the whole world to get out of that field just what God wants, and that's you. Doesn't matter how you feel, doesn't matter how you look, doesn't matter what anyone has said about you, to you, or behind your back. Doesn't matter at all. Because Jesus died for you. Jesus bought the whole field. God paid the price of Christ's blood for the entire field to get that one pearl. If only the one that's you. That means that you are of great value. That means that you are a treasure. That means that you are that beautiful catfish that God wants. That's the meaning of this parable. Often people get caught up on that very last phrase. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then they say, I want to beat on people about being that unrighteous, those gars. No. The majority of this passage is more about how God paid the price of Jesus for the whole world in order to get the treasure that's in it. And that treasure is you. That's the meaning of these parables. And yes, we've got unrighteousness in us that needs to be plucked out and cast into the furnace. We heard about that the previous two Sundays. We've got weeds in us. We are often rocky and weedy ground. But Jesus died that we might enter into a relationship with him. That we, hidden in the field, found as a pearl of great price, caught in the net of God's grace, that we might be gathered into the kingdom. And yes, God will do the weeding. And yes, God will remove the rocks from us. And yes, we will be buffed up as a shiny pearl, gathered in as a treasure, and brought in as a wonderful catch of God's grace and love. as you are struggling through these days and weeks of uncertainty, as you wonder what's going to happen next, what disaster is going to happen next. I saw a pandemic bingo the other day. It was hilarious. It was a chart that had all sorts of disasters written all over it. And it was things like, you know, the pandemic and people getting sick and school being closed and all the works being closed, being out of work. It also included things like Godzilla attacks and aliens invade. And no matter how you did it, you couldn't get a bingo yet. That's the point of it. You don't know what's going to happen. And in the midst of all the uncertainty and all the bad news, the good news, which is what the gospel means, the good news is that Jesus came to buy the field. Jesus came to purchase the pearl. Jesus came to catch the wide catch that we all are in. Jesus came that we might be gathered in to the kingdom of heaven. Wow. No matter what you see going wrong on the news, no matter what you see going on in your life or in your community, no matter what pain, no matter what fear, no matter what loss, know that you're not alone, that Jesus is with you, that God considers you of such great value that He purchased the whole world, that Jesus died for every sin ever committed or will ever be committed, to get you. Don't forget that. And give thanks to God for that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, let me wait.